Here we are in the congressional corner with Representative Paul Tonko, Democrat of New York's 20th District, in office since 2009. Paul Tonko, otherwise known affectionately around here as the Tonk. Thank you so much for being with us again.
The Tonk says hello. Thank you.
Okay, so let's talk a presidential primary. There's what you say on the radio with the talk to, from the talk, but there's also what you say around the dinner table. There's also what you share with your friends. So the question is, give us the second rather than the first. What's really going on in this primary?
I think what you have is a qualified group of candidates that's narrowing down, obviously. Many have said, oh, there's so many, but I think it's fair to say that there hasn't been that really harsh attack one to another, and that they're exploiting the weaknesses of the current administration. They're talking about, you know, areas that have been unaddressed or underaddressed by this administration. You know, rollbacks that we've seen at EPA. They're coming out saying not only do we need to restore those cuts, but look more keenly at them. There's a climate change advocacy coming from them all. There's workforce development for an innovation economy that drives itself around precision. So worker skills are incredibly important, and the enhancement of those skills, very important to the party and to the people of this country. You know, there's a number of the improvements of healthcare. So there is, I think, a talented field that each brings about a certain strength, but what I think it does in a cumulative is talk about the weakness, the failure, the lack of leadership, and the kind of flawed, I can't even say flawed policy, it's not the vacancy, the policy that just doesn't seem to exist. It's troublesome because there are people on both sides of the aisle in Congress that are driven by the academics. They want to get things done. We may disagree on what that final product looks like, but guide yourself by academics, embrace policy, and have passion for what you do. I don't see that. It's kind of a knee-jerk reaction, hit and miss. You know, the message changes every day. I think what you have here in the Democratic field is a stability, a focus, a passion to get us back on track as a nation.
Yeah. But what's really going on?
What's really going on?
In other words, who's winning? Who's going to win? Come on, Paul.
Okay, I think it's narrowing. I think you'll probably see a lot of support for Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, and maybe even a rise for someone like Mayor Pete.
It's interesting, though, that Bernie raised an awful lot of money. There's still a lot of Bernieites out there.
Yep, there are. And I think that probably that his approach this year, his campaign this year, is somewhat altered by that of Elizabeth Warren, who has some of the same focus, but seems to have a newfound energy and a freshness and appeal, I think, that is changing the dynamics a bit.
Yeah, but you know Bernie from the old days. You think because he and Warren are the progressives in the race, or seem to be out front progressives, you think he's got it in him to say, okay, let her have it this time? She should, I'll pull out.
Oh, that's, I would only be shooting in the dark. I have no information about that.
No, but you know the answer. The answer is absolutely not.
Yeah, I think it would be, I would be leaning more towards his not doing that. But, you know, as her momentum develops, I think it challenges him more than anyone in that field. And, you know, there are people talking about electability. They still see Joe Biden as a very electable candidate. And people love the I've got a plan approach by Elizabeth Warren. So, you know, with that and the freshness of a mayor in Mayor Pete, who has a very eloquent way of presenting his agenda, you know, it's people understand that there's a quality field there and it'll work itself through.
Let me move ahead with the lawsuit. A federal judge just ruled against Governor Cuomo on SALT, you know, the deduction of state and local taxes, and said the Congress can, or the president can do what he wants on this. What do you make of that?
I find it regrettable. To me, it was such an obvious attack on blue states. And even the numbers now, the numerical arguments are very proof positive that, yes, while there is salt impacting the red states, far less than there had been in the blue states. And, you know, I find that, you know, there's a different approach by states. So some are more into reinforcing the human spirit from, you know, from all angles, from education, healthcare, and job development, workforce development, rather. And states where they invest in their people are then hurt by this salt discussion. So I was hoping that the case would have been approved, have been given a favorable outcome from the court. But that just means that there's additional work for Congress as it moves forward with tax policy. I think we need to revisit some of these elements. Mm. I say all the time that the time to fix that, the golden moment, was when it was before the House as the president sent it over to the Hill. And I think Republicans from blue states could have amassed, a great number of them would have been part of that definition, and could have said, no salt. If you want this tax cut bill to go, salt language can't be in there. So it was failed leadership at that point. Once this got to the floor, you knew it was going to be greased and it was going to move along because the president was making it his number one agenda. And unfortunately, what was supposed to be the big salvation for the middle-income community, the middle-class Americans, proved not to be. And I can tell you many people still are concerned that they're paying far more than they did prior to this tax bill being enacted. So we have work to do here. It also, I will remind you, good doctor, that the inflation impact, what this tax bill did to the deficit and all, it's devastating. I think that it produced a lot of damage, all while we let go the focus on infrastructure. We should have made infrastructure the priority, not the tax bill, especially a tax bill of the design that he forwarded to Congress.
Now, I know you're busy, and I only have a minute to ask you this, but I did want to ask you about what is it in climate change that is such an anathema to this president that you think? What is it that makes him so anti-understanding what the science says?
I think it's a warm and fuzzy relationship with the fossil industry, fossil fuel industry, and wanting to hold on to his idea of adding to the greatness of America, I think, is rolling us back to the 50s, which really isn't about leadership. It's about stagnant or rollback government. And so I think, again, you know, we need to make the White House great again.
It's always wonderful to talk to our friend Paul Tonko, who is one of the busiest men in the Capital Region. Every time you look up, there you are, Paul, somewhere. And I thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us and to our listeners.
Always a pleasure to be with you and your listeners.
We so appreciate it.
Thank you.